Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, we got a look at some of the new rooms planned for the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel. Disney began testing fireworks at the Magic Kingdom yesterday, and they also released their fourth quarter earnings report last week. And we're going to talk about some of the key takeaways from that. Plus, a little later, I'm going to share my thoughts about being back in the parks and some of the changes I saw. All that coming up next. From the Bob Marley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. Hello, folks, and welcome to episode 1104 of for the week of November 17th of the Diz Unplugged, coming to you from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined via Skype this week by my good friends, John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
That's not John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Skype is only going to switch over when people are talking for a little while. So John Magi's here along with Kevin Close. Guys, make some noise. Make some noise.
Hi, everybody.
Woohoo. Okay, there they are. John Magi and Kevin Close. Obviously, Jackie Gailey is with us as well. Now you can talk, Jackie. Or not. And Denny Sunderly is with us as well.
Hi there.
I see how this day is going to go. Producing for us this week here in the studio, our associate producer, Mr. Corey Fiascanaro.
Hey, everybody.
And welcome, folks. Just a reminder, the Diz Unplugged is brought to you by DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com. That is a company in which John and I are co-owners. And if you like our content, if you like the stuff we put out, please show your support by booking your next Disney vacation with Dreams Unlimited Travel. A lot of people this past year have learned just how good our agents are as they have helped people navigate the changes and things that have happened as a result of COVID-19 and all the cancellations and rebookings that needed to take place with Disney vacations and are continuing to take place with Disney vacations. So DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com, we appreciate your support. All right, I want to get started first by talking about the fourth quarter earnings call. Now, just for clarification, Disney's fiscal year ends on September 30th, so their first quarter begins October 1st. So this is for the period of July 1st through September 30th. And some of the key points that I want to talk about, the board of directors decided to forego the semi-annual dividend payments to its shareholders in January 2021, which I think makes perfect sense since the company lost, and or at least Parks and Experiences alone lost $2.4 billion with a B in the fourth quarter, just the fourth quarter. That's not their year-end loss. That's their fourth quarter, $2.4 billion. They talked about how Walt Disney World was operating at 25% capacity. But Bob Chapek did confirm what we were suspecting was the case, that they had upped capacity to 35%. We knew that because, you know, park passes for December that were really hard to get, that were yellow or red, all of a sudden became green. And we figured, okay, the only way you're doing that is if you're adding capacity. And he did confirm that they had upped capacity to 35%. And while we're on that, I just want to say, I think that is a remarkably responsible decision from, I don't know what the hell that was. Something just fell. it's going to be one of those shows, folks. I thought that was a remarkably responsible decision from a company that had just lost $2.4 billion, that they only increased capacity during their historically busiest time of the year by 10%, when the state of Florida has basically said to them, you can go back to operating 100% and we're fine with it. So I think I just wanted to point that out, that I think a 10% increase after what, 3 months of reopening and learning what the best practices are, I thought that was an incredibly responsible decision. Chapek did mention that the cruising guidelines released by the Centers for Disease Control at the end of October present higher hurdles than they were anticipating, which is delaying the resumption of cruising beyond what was originally hoped for. Now, I don't have an inside track on that. All I can say is that when they released the cruise discounts that they release weekly yesterday, everything started in March. Everything started in March. My hope was that they were going to do the volunteer sailings in January and resume some cruises in February. That apparently is not going to happen. So now we're looking at March. They also mentioned that theme park reservations at Disney World at reduced capacity limits are about 77% booked for the first quarter of fiscal year 2021, which started October 1st through December 31st, with Thanksgiving week booked close to capacity. So, you know, obviously from a financial standpoint, this is not good news. I think overall the company was down 60%. It's better than what Universal reported. I think they were at 80%. But I think they're hopeful that next year is going to look better. I mean, certainly we're hearing some really encouraging things from Moderna and from Pfizer about the tests that they've been conducting on the vaccine candidates they're putting forward, with a 90+ and a 95% plus efficacy rate. So Disney stock jumped on those announcements. But what do you guys think? What do you guys think of the fourth quarter earnings?
Not surprising, in my opinion. I don't think this is a big thing that we were, you know, we thought somehow it would be a miracle and they were going to make money. I think we all knew they were going to take a loss. I think it's important to keep in mind, too, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but very early on, Disney secured a huge amount of line of credit. So something like $3 billion and then another $7 billion. I might have my numbers wrong. Yeah. So they were in a really good place to weather this storm. So I think that's, you know, they're not, it's not like some companies that are selling stuff and shuttering their doors. And plus, the other thing, too, is something you didn't cover, Pete, was the fact that streaming is up and subscriptions are up, and that's been a big part of their ability to hold on to, you know, some kind of revenue. So, you know, Disney, they're doing their best. They're doing their best with this whole thing. I give them a lot of credit for what they are able to do.
Mm-hmm. The fact that they have Disney Plus is allowing them to do the whole direct-to-consumer pivot, which is, that's going to be, I mean, that's a boon for them. They're automatically set up to be able to at least recoup some of the losses through their new model. And it'll be interesting to see what they do, because we won't know that those specifics or further specifics with the DTC model until December 10th, the next call. So that'll be it'll be interesting. But for me, the thing that stands out the very most, yes, I agree, John, it's not surprising. I mean, $2.4 billion, that's such a huge number, but it's not surprising, right? But what is noteworthy to me is that the company expects to spend upwards of $1 billion in safety measures for guests and cast and talent. So that's just all the retrofitting they've had to do, the markers on the grounds, everything from stem to stern. So I commend them for that.
And I'm gonna talk about this a little later on, but I being back in the parks these past few weeks, back in the resorts, they are the model of how this can be done, of how there is that middle ground between complete shutdown and complete reopening. They are the model of it, and I think they've done incredible. And you know, I wasn't on the show for this discussion, but I've been chomping at the bit to talk about the equity layoffs, and I want to tie that in a speech Josh D'Amaro gave at the IAPA, the virtual IAPA conference, where he released, you know, details about what attractions they're working on and all this other stuff. And I thought it was very interesting because, you know, when they laid off 28,000 cast members, people understood. The general reaction overall was it sucks, it's awful, but people understood. Oh, which reminds me, we have a cruise to give away this show. I forgot to put that in the intro.
Oh, good.
I have
okay,
a cruise to give away.
Someone had asked.
I have a cruise, but I'm going to make you wait. But we do have a cruise to give away because we raised almost $29,000. We raised almost $29,000 for Second Harvest Food Bank in support of cast members who were laid off. And we did that by raffling off a four-night cruise in 2021, which I will announce the winner a little bit later on. But so when they laid off those 28,000 cast members, people understood, right? This is what's going on in the world. And it sucks, but we understood. When they laid off the equity cast members, that was not the case. The villagers turned on them, and I'm right there with them, okay? Hoop-dee-doo, Festival of the Lion King, all these great shows, all these equity performers, and equity performers, anybody on stage with a voice role is an equity performer. And that did not go over well. That did not go over well. Message received, because in Josh's IAPA statement yesterday, he said, we've heard from you know, our fans about how upset they were about this, and we are now actively looking at ways to start bringing some of those cast members back. So I think we need to continue putting pressure on them for that, and I have some ideas about ways that can be done that I'll talk about later. But, yeah, so, you know, I guess, like John said, nobody's surprised at all that they took a loss. But I think in spite of that, the fact that they're still being responsible in terms of how they're increasing capacity, in terms of how they're doing things, says a lot about the company right now. And it's not something I'm going to soon forget. That where a lot of other companies are throwing safety out the window to make money, they're not. So I give them credit on that. So let's also talk about the fact that last night, apparently, Disney began testing fireworks at the Magic Kingdom, which can only mean one thing, that we're going to have some form of fireworks returning to at least the Magic Kingdom. Do we think this is going to be kind of like the cavalcades that randomly at night without any notice, all of a sudden they're just going to start setting off small little fireworks shows? Cause I call the cavalcades the sadness parades. Are we going to have sadness fireworks?
No, they're not sadness parades.
They are not.
Okay. No. Hold on. They're cute, right? But it's like, oh, look, there's the float that was part of a real parade, and now it's just lonely, you know, running down Main Street. I think there's a lot more they can do with that. I think there's a lot more. You want to bring back equity cast members? You want to watch Disney fans lose their minds? Take some of those incredible performers from Festival of the Lion King. And do a cavalcade through Animal Kingdom with some of them singing. Okay? Not a regurgitated float from a parade that you had to quit. Do something different. There's a huge opportunity there. Huge. To bring
Disney
some of these equity cast members back.
Because they put a Christmas sweater on Figment.
What's that?
Disney fans lost their minds because they put a Christmas sweater on Figment.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the cavalcades. And I'm talking about ways that they could bring at least some of these equity cast members back. And do something different. Not remind us of what we lost. Yeah, is it cute? Yes, it is cute. I'm not saying that. But, you know, watching the whole Christmas parade, the way many of us have, and then just seeing, you know, one float from it randomly come down the street kind of focuses on the fact that we don't have the whole parade. So I support the cavalcade idea. I support a single float, doing it randomly so that you're not having people gather for long periods of time in a tight space. I support that. But let's give them something different. Let's not remind them of what we're not doing. Let's show them what we can do. You have all that talent. You have all that equity talent there.
Yeah.
That could do amazing things. And tell me that people wouldn't lose their mind. A Festival of the Lion King cavalcade going through Animal Kingdom with live performances. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that would be neat. If they are willing, now that Josh has said what he said yesterday, if they're willing to start sprinkling entertainment cast back in, that would be welcomed with open arms to be able to see some of those beloved cast members back doing what they are so good at doing. Of course, that would be amazing. For me personally, the cavalcades, I'm just happy to get what I've gotten so far this year. Like 2020 is a crapshoot. Nothing is guaranteed, right? So to get those little reminders back for me was comforting rather than causing me to pine for what I'm missing. But I get what you're saying totally. And I love the little touches that Disney is doing for us. Like the cast on Main Street are wearing their Mickey's Very Merry costumes, just like they wore their Mickey's Not So Scary costumes during the Halloween season. So little things like that, I find almost like just a comforting thing rather than, what I might not be getting at this time. Cause I think I'm to this point, like, okay, just, you know, any little hint, give us just a hint and, you know, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Moving into the new year, maybe to have some of those amazing, you know, entertainment cast back, that would be great.
But what do you think about Denny? What do you think about the fireworks? You think they're going to kind of do the same thing as they do with the cavalcades?
You know, I don't know. If you have random fireworks shooting off at, you know, undisclosed times, you might have some pretty nervous people in the Magic Kingdom. But I know it's not a guarantee that they're testing, that they're coming back. Just because they're testing, and they did this at Epcot, I think the month before last, they were quick to say, hey, guys, just because you're going to hear some fireworks doesn't mean it's coming back all the time. But it is neat to be able to see them testing, because the other parks were able to bring back their fireworks after being open a couple of months. So it's promising to me. We can no longer have the log jam and the hub that we had every night for Happily Ever After. That just is a non-starter. So it might have to be short little surprise moments that pop up throughout the evening that you can't, you know, gather. Like, so two Friday nights ago on November 6th, Animal Kingdom, I was in there, Rhino was in there, and we were both covering it, you know, some of the different holiday decorations, things that they were doing. We were there separately doing all that. And all of a sudden, the music swells and they begin to play the Tree of Life Holiday Awakening. And they hadn't even announced that yet. And so I was actively on my way out of the park. I turned around, flipped around, and went shooting back towards the Tree of Life, because I wanted to be able to see. It was such a neat kind of breathtaking moment that we didn't realize this was going to happen, and we didn't know we were going to get that back, and we got it back. So it was just kind of a little wink and a nod from Disney, and it was, again, super comforting. So maybe they would do that for the fireworks, and I'd be all for it.
What about you, Jackie? What do you think?
You said about the cavalcades.
What's that?
Can I add my 2 cents about the cavalcades?
Sure.
First of all, I don't think they're sad. I think they're great. I actually hope that when we go back to full parades, that kind of thing is still there. That sort of the surprise magic still occurs. Even if we go back to total normalcy and full parades at 3 o'clock, it'd be cool to still have that. As far as the fireworks go, I also think that the reason why they're testing them around the park is that they don't want them to be just at the castle, so that you can see them from various places around the park. So if they're not going to be surprise fireworks, at least they'll be in different locations so that people aren't all gathered together in one spot. And it's more of a, wherever you are in the park, you can see them. So
I just don't see right now a way for them to bring back a full-on fireworks show.
Yeah.
And they can't. Mm-hmm. If they can't do parades because they can't draw crowds, they sure as hell can't do fireworks.
Yeah.
So the only way that I can see that they're going to bring those back into the park is to do them the way they're doing the cavalcades. To just randomly all of a sudden, without notice, as long as it's dark, I guess, throw up some fireworks.
See, that's what John was saying, was what kind of what I was wondering. I've been wondering about that, actually, if they were going to just set them off in different places throughout the park, because they can put those cannons anywhere.
They did say in the announcement that they would be, testing fireworks from various locations around the Magic Kingdom, which led me to think that, okay, because, all of a sudden, oh, wow, look, there's fireworks going off in Frontierland. That would be really cool.
And a little disconcerting.
Really?
Maybe.
Boom.
Yeah. Well, think about this, too. Think about, there are people who have sensory issues,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So they have to be aware of that as well. You can't just start shooting off fireworks. You're going to have some people who can't handle that.
Absolutely.
Who have some issues with that. So,
well, that's another situation. I guess we'll find out. We'll see what they do.
Yeah. I loved the cavalcades when I was there last week, too.
Okay, so apparently I'm alone in this. I'm alone in the sadness parades, but...
Well, it's, we haven't been able to go as a family to the holiday parties because it really just got so expensive for the four of us to go. And so I enjoy hearing a little bit of that holiday music, and just, even though it's just a little bit, it's different. And so I feel like as many times as I've been, it's nice to have just something different, but familiar at the same time. So. We really enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not that I don't enjoy them. It's not that I didn't think they were cute. But I guess, I started really seeing them right around the time they announced they were laying off the Equity cast members, right? And they were, Hoop-Dee-Doo and Festival of the Lion King, all the other ones, Beauty and the Beast stage show. And the first thing I felt was... Yeah, it's really great to see this float, but it makes me miss the parade, and it kind of puts a spotlight, right? One of the big complaints that some people have is that I'm paying the same price or more, but I'm getting less than I used to. And we can argue that, but so you have this parade going down the street, it's cavalcade, that's kind of putting a spotlight on that fact. That here's one float from that parade, not the parade. That I'm not getting the parade anymore. I'm like, okay, well, I like the idea of the cavalcade, and I like the responsible decision behind it. But let's do something different. Rather than getting rid of all these really talented cast members, let's kind of find a way to merge those things together and do something new. And I'll tell you what, if they do it right, you'll never see parades back again. You'll see these cavalcades from now on, and people will lose their minds. You also have to give people a reason to want to come here. Seeing one float from a parade is not a carrot on the end of a stick. But, oh, hey, you know what? Festival of the Lion King performers are doing random stuff in the park. You'll have people coming just to see that.
Reusing the parade floats and reusing those same characters could just have been the stopgap. It could have been the thing that's bridging between what they could do quickly and then what they
could do. No, absolutely. Absolutely. So, right.
I don't disagree that they should be doing more. Absolutely, I do, but I like them.
And isn't just having Festival of the Lion King people performing little bits in the park the same thing? Doesn't that just make you realize that the Festival of the Lion King is gone?
I guess it does. Or maybe doing something different. But I'm just saying that... I guess it does. I just think I would be a lot more excited because that's something different. Seeing a parade float go down Main Street is something we've seen before. But seeing live performers going down Main Street doing a show that you would normally have to, you know, go and wait online for, I think would be something different. I don't know. Obviously I'm alone in this and that's fine, but I think they can do something. They could do something special and different with the cavalcade idea.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I have a question for you. Did you say you're seeing Christmas floats now? Cavalcades with Christmas stuff?
Oh yeah.
We hadn't experienced that. So I hadn't seen that yet. So.
Oh yeah. They started doing that. I mean, Halloween's body was still warm. And they started doing the Christmas stuff, which was great. Because it was November 1st, there was like a Christmas tree up in the Magic Kingdom. They did not waste any time. They're getting as much out of that as possible. And I was all good with that. Then again, my house has been decorated for Christmas since the beginning of October, because I think 2020 needs absolutely 3 full months of Christmas. Personally.
Yes. You know, part of me wonders too about the equity performers. I know that singing is a difficult thing right now, and being close in with other singers is also an issue, because when you sing more
aerosols,
yes, thank you, comes out. And so I think that is something that they'd have to look at, because they would have to almost re-choreograph things to really make it work. So
I think they should hire back all the mimes.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's just so hard, you know.
There's a lot of equity actors out of work everywhere.
There are.
Right.
There are, because the shows can't be the same if you can't have a group of singers together. Really on the flotillas in Animal Kingdom, maybe they could have two.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And the driver.
Are we sure that the people on the floats are actually singing?
No, obviously in the parades. No, in the parades, they're not.
They're not.
They're lip syncing. But I'm just saying, it was an idea. Just do something different. I don't know. I like the cavalcades. I thought they were cute. But all I could feel was they could do more with this. They could do more with this. And, you know, and we'll see. I love that Josh said that he plans to they're looking at ways to start bringing back some of these equity cast members. I'm looking forward to see what that looks like. But, all right, I want to move on to one of the things that they released yesterday at the IAPA. Josh released yesterday at the IAPA talk. Was a look at what the rooms are going to look like at the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel. And Kevin, we're going to you first, because I know how excited you are about this.
He's going to have the hot take.
I know you can't wait.
That they built in places for me to store my luggage.
What I think is exciting is Kevin and I will each take one of the bunk beds.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. So based on what we're seeing here, it looks like, you know, like this one room, two bunk beds, a queen size bed. And it's cute, right? It's cute looking. But just a reminder to folks, this is a 2-day, 2-night, basically cosplay hotel, which does not appeal to me in any way, shape, or form. Jackie, you like this idea? Jackie?
Hit unmute. There you go.
Oh, I muted you instead of unmuting. Sorry. I do. I think that it sounds like a really fun way to escape real grown-up life. And I am 100% in for that. I think it sounds like a load of fun.
My guess is it's going to be $1,200 a night. You still in? You still in, Jack?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd... I'd have to...
Not so magical now, is it there, pixie dust lady?
I don't want to pretend for 24 hours. I just don't. I'm going to be honest with you. If they had suites, I would be there in a heartbeat.
They might. Who knows? You never know.
It's a nice presidential suite. There is at the Waldorf. But I'm going to tell you something.
The Emperor Palpatine suite? Is that what you're looking for?
The Emperor suite. I will
take
the
throne.
First of all, I'm excited about it. I think it looks like fun. I know Kevin's not, but he's doing it.
Remember before you asked me if he made me do things that I didn't want to do?
Yeah, I knew the answer already.
He said no.
Yeah. I know he does.
I have seen Barbara Streisand 10 times in 1 year. He can go to the Star Wars hotel. But if you are a Disney fan, I think this is so incredibly cool. And I think this is so neat.
I think
neat.
It's if you're a Star Wars
what
fan.
What did I say?
A Disney fan.
Oh, yeah. I think if you're a Star Wars fan, I apologize. I think it's incredibly cool. I'm looking forward to it. I think people have to get out of the mindset that this is a hotel where you're going to stay at for days and days and days and go to different parks and stuff. It's an experience. It's something that they're going to craft. And so those 2 days will be jam-packed with fun stuff to do. You won't notice how small the room is. I will notice. But
well, I think there's also some information floating around there that says you're only going to be able to go into Galaxy's Edge and you have to wear a costume.
You don't have to do any of that. Not forced.
It sounds it.
I wonder how much money we could raise getting Kevin into an Emperor Palpatine costume.
Oh, my goodness.
As long as it's not that gold bikini I think I'm in. That big shmata he wears, that'll help.
So the speculation is this is going to open sometime in 2021. We don't have a date yet. Anybody else think that's probably not going to happen, given the current circumstances? Yeah.
I think it's going to happen. I drive by it. So I think it's going to happen. It's coming together. It's looking more and more like, you know, a building that you can occupy, you know, as the days go on. So, say it again.
Does it look like a spaceship?
No. Yes.
But, you know, if
it doesn't.
I don't see how when most of the experiences of this take place indoors. Right now, given, you know, hopefully it's better in 2021, but depending on vaccines and all that other stuff, it may be late in 2021 before it's safe to do that. So that's why I think this is probably not going to open until 2022. I don't see how they open this with the amount of indoor activity that's going to be required. Because it's like John said, it's not like I'm going to the Magic Kingdom today. You're signing up. You're signing up for a whole thing. And so I wonder how that's going to work.
And you also, it's almost like an inside cabin on a cruise ship, right? That's in the announcement, in the release, they use the word cruise several times because that's what we can liken it to. That's the closest experience to draw a correlation with. So that's, you're going on a 2-day cruise. You've got to be good with an inside stateroom because you're not going to have a window to outside. You're going to have one of a virtual porthole kind of thing into space. So as long as you're okay with that, but yes, like you're saying, Pete, it is interior. The experience is inside and also Batu, but for the most part, the lion's share of the experience is going to be indoors. So you have to be okay with that.
I mean, and the rooms look great. I mean, I love the design of them. There was never any question in my mind that they were going to do really well with that. But, you know, we'll see. I'm still waiting to see pricing. My guess is $1,200 a night.
They showed a picture of that space restaurant.
Yes.
And one of the tables. Mm-hmm. And there were like 10 people around that table, all sitting fairly close together, looking at a hole in it. And...
That's an old picture. What? That's an old artist rendering. That's been around for a while.
I don't think that reflects COVID. I think as far as Star Cruiser goes, the construction is on track to finish in 2021. I have heard that this is a priority and that they are going to get it finished.
as far as what they can and can't do. Time will tell. Vaccine, all of that stuff will play into it. And I want to add something before we get off the subject. If you're interested in booking the Galactic Star Cruiser, Dreams Unlimited Travel will happily place you on a wait list for when reservations open up. We've already started one. We've got quite a few people on it.
At the Star Wars cafeteria.
You can write to John at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com, and I will get you to an agent, or you can write to future_bookings@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. I'm going back to what you said, Pete. I think you're right. I think that $1,200 per night, you're looking at a two-night, two-day experience, and I think you're looking at $2,500 to $2,600 for that experience.
Say that again.
Because it's a two-night, two-day experience, I think they're going to be one. It's going to be a single price for that, and I think it's going to be $2,600 for that.
Well, I said $1,200 a night, so
yep.
That's my guess, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. Let's do a little housekeeping. First, let's announce the winner of our raffle.
We need a drum roll.
No, we really don't. my congratulations, our congratulations goes out to Donna Russo. Donna Russo is the winner of our raffle. She was drawn randomly by the software that runs this at rallyup.com, which worked really well. I was really pleased with them. Very pleased with the fact that we raised $28,000, more than $28,000 for Second Harvest Food Bank. But Donna Russo, the winner.
Thank you, Donna.
And Donna will be reaching out to you directly with instructions on how to redeem your cruise and all that stuff, courtesy, of course, of dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And all the money raised goes directly to Second Harvest Food Bank. So again, this awesome community shows how generous they are and how awesome they are. And I thank you for that. So I wanted to get that out there. What else? What else we got for housekeeping, guys?
Go ahead, Jackie.
Really?
Okay. So you guys might be able to see this over my left shoulder, but I am burning a churro candle right now from Magic Candle Company, and it is so wonderful. I love the holiday season because of all of the baked things that we usually are having going on in our kitchen during this time of the year. And this candle is just filling my whole office and the kitchen area with this lovely smell of churro. There's tons of fun Christmassy holiday scents available right now. And Magic Candle Company is doing a really fantastic free shipping offer right now, where if your order is over $75, you get free shipping. And if you've ordered from Magic Candle Company before, you know that shipping charge is, you know, kind of a steep one. So take advantage of that free shipping and use code DisneyInfo when you check out, and you'll save 15% on your entire order.
And Jackie, not to contradict you, dear, because, you know, I love you. And churro is a good candle. But for this season, you need Christmas Shop. Oh, my God. I just bought $200 worth of Christmas Shop. And I burn it in every room. And what I love about it is it's a room filler, right? It's a room filler. Because okay. I got some larger rooms in my house. And that's how I judge a candle. Will it fill a room? Now, not everybody likes that. Some people want, you know, mild. And I just, there's no 5 on my dial. It's 0 or 11. So, and Christmas Shop is like a Christmas 11. It is so good.
I'll be trying that one.
So I just really, like I said, not to contradict you, dear. I agree. Churro is very nice. I love Mouse Waffles too.
Oh yeah.
Mouse Waffles is incredible.
I haven't tried that one.
Try it. You'll be like churro ta. Try Mouse Waffles.
Fine.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple of quick things about Keith and his team over there, because like you said, Jackie, they're just coming up with some really creative Christmas scents right now. There's Christmas on Main Street and Pirate Christmas and Polynesian Christmas.
Polynesian Christmas is really, 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 really good.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the chosen fragrance for the office right now.
Okay.
Nice.
Perfect.
It's really good. Yeah, no, they're really killing it. They're killing it over there. It's great. It's great. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to let folks know that if you watch our DVC shows, we have now launched a DVC fan YouTube channel, youtube.com/DVC fan. We are going for the time being to continue putting our DVC shows up on the Diz Unplugged channel, but we'll also be putting them up on DVC fan. But over the next few months, we're going to start putting up exclusive content that will just be on DVC fan. It's the only place you're going to find it. So if you're interested in DVC information, we are making some changes on our YouTube channels. You may have started to see this. We're moving things off onto their own focused areas, because too much was going up on Diz Unplugged, right? I mean, 10, sometimes 10 or 15 uploads a week going up on Diz Unplugged. And it was all over the place. So we're starting to focus things out so you can subscribe to the channels that interest you the most. Please, right now, please like this video and subscribe to our Diz Unplugged channel, but also head over youtube.com/DVC fan and subscribe there as well. We will be making announcements about other new channels coming up in the next few weeks. By the end of the year. So I just want to let folks know about that. Anything else, John? You got anything?
I don't. You have some, Kevin?
I do. I still have a couple of spots left if you'd like to travel with us next September on the Grand Europe trip. It's nights in London, Paris, Florence, and Rome. I know John and I will be traveling. I'm guessing Pete will be traveling.
Did we talk about this? Did we talk about this?
Yes.
We did?
A couple times.
It's so sad, right? It's so damn sad what's happened to me.
Are you going with us?
You going to London, Paris, Florence, and Venice?
Florence and Rome.
Florence and Rome? Of course I'm going.
Okay. That was the answer. That's where I started. If you'd like to join us, there are a couple of seats left. You can write to me at Kevin at Dreams Unlimited Travel, and we'll discuss details. It's September 17th through the 26th of 2021.
Yeah.
Go with us.
10 days in Europe, I'm all in.
And you know.
Especially right now. What's that?
You know, if we're in Italy, we're probably going to work our way over to Venice.
I haven't started that yet. Don't write to me about that part. Yeah. Right to John.
You write to me. I'll talk to you about it. But yeah, that's, you know, we're once we get the trip all squared away, I'm sure we'll figure something out. Can't not go to Venice.
Especially with this year. This is the longest I've ever gone without traveling. I think the same is true for you two. And I'm watching videos of old trips and going through pictures of old trips like an old shut-in, remembering the good old days.
I remember when I used to have fun.
Oh. I remember when I used to be vital and alive.
Before 2020.
In October of last year, and I got to use it once.
Oh.
Kevin at DreamsUnlimitedTravel.com.
All right. Anybody else? Anything else?
Just a plug, since we plug channels over on our other channel, The Diz. If you didn't notice or you're not subscribed over there, we have vlogs going up. So in-park vlogs, things that you would normally see on here, you can also start finding on there as well. So check that out down in the description below.
Yep, The Diz Unplugged is going to be basically everything we do in the studio. And The Diz channel is going to be everything we do in park. So head over to that and check that out. All right. I'm done with pushing things. I am anxious to talk about the experience I've had these last 3 weeks. Being back in the parks a lot more, being back in the resorts, a lot more. And I'll preface by saying that everything I'm going to say is based on my experience and my opinion. I'm not judging anyone who feels differently at all, especially in this circumstance. I am high risk, right? I'm diabetic. I am at high risk for, I also have high blood pressure. I'm at high risk for COVID-19. And that is what kind of kept me out of the parks. And it was a bit nerve-wracking to make that decision to go back in. And I promised myself the entire time that if I felt uncomfortable, I would leave. I also have the benefit of living here. So that for me means just getting in my car and driving home. It doesn't mean, you know, for a lot of people, getting on a plane. So that's why I say there's no wrong decisions here. But I had a COVID-19 test right before I started going back into the parks, and I had another one done just the other day. Negative on both, thank God. No, by the way, Fiasco, I'm positive. Sorry, forgot to tell you.
Good to know right
now. I'm kidding. So for me, there were certain things that were deal breakers, right, that I had to do. I was not going to eat indoors. I would only eat outside. I would not be indoors in a store where there were a lot of people, like in a store, for more than 15 minutes, even with my mask on. I always had my mask on. I used hand sanitizer and washed my hands like I was scrubbing in for surgery every 30 minutes. That's what was different for me about this experience. And for me, in no way did it at all detract from the joy I felt being back in the parks. That while I love a parade or a fireworks show or various things that have changed or gone away, I know this sounds corny, but it's the truth. That's the first thing I thought of. The magic is baked into the DNA of these parks. It's not in a parade. It's not in a specific attraction. It's in everything, right? It's in everything. And I just felt it everywhere I went. It was the most enjoyable experience I've had since all this went down. And I think you guys know by now, if you've watched me for any length of time, you know I would tell you if I didn't feel that way, right? And the reason I felt that way is because of the extraordinary measures Disney has taken to keep everything safe to the best of their ability. It's also that way because the guests, almost without fail, that I saw, were all following the guidelines. Everybody had a mask on. The cast members, holy crap. I felt like it was 1995 again. These cast members going out of their way to make magic for people, right? I'm watching it left and right. I'm watching this joy and gratitude coming out of these cast members, and I'm watching it being returned by guests. It was also like 1995 because you could walk down Main Street without feeling like you were in Grand Central Station. Do I miss eating inside restaurants? Yeah, I do. But okay. Okay. I'm fine. You know, let me learn some more about quick service. Mobile order worked great. Worked great flawlessly every time we used it. It worked great. It blew me away. It honestly blew me away. I felt very, very comfortable. And also, while Orange County here in Florida has not been spared by any means from COVID, it is not quite as bad here in terms of spikes as it is in other parts of the state. So I'm very grateful for that. And I think that's in part because one of the biggest locations in Orange County, Walt Disney World, is not being run like a super spreader company. But the only time, there's only one time I felt uncomfortable. That was a Friday night in the Magic Kingdom. And it was too crowded. There was too many people. Regardless of 25%, 35%, I don't care. There were too many people and I was not comfortable. So I left. And I noticed that it seems like Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. Monday through Thursday, crowds are manageable. That doesn't mean you have the park to yourself. There are other people in the world that are in the parks too. And I think some people are expecting to go to Disney and think, oh, I'm just going to have Epcot to myself today. No, because I heard some people complaining about the crowds. It was a Thursday in Epcot during Food and Wine. And there was barely anybody there. And this woman was complaining about the crowds. I'm like, did you hit your head? Have you ever been here before? There's no crowds here. So, honestly. Oh, okay.
It's for you.
Honestly, if it's something you're considering, and again, I didn't have to fly here. I don't know that I would have. I don't know that I would get on a plane right now, even though they say it's very safe and that it's probably safer than any other form of transportation because of the way the air is circulated and filtered. I don't know. I don't like the idea right now of being with a lot of people in a very small enclosed space. But for me, in this experience, I can't wait to go back. I cannot wait to go back. And I've been hearing this from other people, too. Not from everybody. Some people were like, nope, I'm good. But I know, John and Kevin, you guys have ventured into Disney Springs. You've also been back in the park since they opened, right?
We went the very first day that the Magic Kingdom was open. Kevin described it well. It wasn't about doing anything or riding a ride or eating anywhere. It was about giving the Magic Kingdom a hug. We felt like mm-hmm. we needed to be there for our sake of our soul and the soul of Walt Disney World. We haven't been back since. We feel like we've experienced enough and got our fix. However, about 2 weeks ago, we did go to Disney Springs. Kevin had bought something online and decided to return it, and there happened to be a store there. Now, admittedly, we went midday, midweek, and I got to tell you, it was great. It was virtually empty. Everybody was doing a great job of social distancing and masks.
The only thing that was crowded was the parking garage.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly true, where you kind of went through the bag check. Because now you go through bag check at the garage. And
I'm going to guess we were there for 45 minutes.
And the cast members were great. Super, super nice. Stores were not crowded, but they had set up the ability to social distance where they had markings on the ground outside if you had to wait to get in the store. We didn't have to do that. It was most of the stores had their doors open. It was a great experience. It was fantastic. We would go back again. I don't know that I would go on a Friday night or a Saturday night.
Yeah.
But I would go back during the week anytime.
There were very few food options.
I'm going to tell you what. If you guys haven't tried it yet, did a review of City Works. It's a sports bar over by the NBA experience. And I know none of those words are any more appealing to you than they are to me. A lot of outdoor seating and the food. I was so surprised by how good it was. I mean, it's bar food, but it's bar food done so well. It was delicious. Absolutely delicious. I cannot tell you. One of my favorite places at Disney Springs now, along with Wine Bar George also has outdoor seating available. That was really good. We did eat at Paddlefish, thanks to Fiasco.
Yeah.
Really?
I would also like to say Olivia's. I shouldn't even say it because it's definitely a hidden gem right now as far as outdoor seating restaurants are concerned. But Olivia's does have outdoor seating, and they have quite the good modified menu. They still have a lot of options on there. And I've been back to the parks, you know,
and
a lot.
Olivia, again, God bless you, man. You love the crappy places.
What?
Olivia's so hit and miss.
Oh, I like Olivia.
It's so hit and miss.
Is that the thing at Old Key West?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so hit and miss.
It is very hit or miss.
What's that?
I said I agree with you 100%. Olivia's is hit or miss. Sometimes you get a great meal, and sometimes it's scary. We haven't eaten in a restaurant inside or outside for months. It's all takeout.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I still like to go out to eat, but I've found places. You know, if it doesn't have outdoor seating and it's not, generally speaking, if it's not open on three sides, I'm not eating there. Because they're saying six times more likely inside a restaurant. But my point being that there are ways, right? There are ways to go have this experience. No, it's not the same as the experience you had last year. But there are ways to adapt and have this experience where you're still getting that, right? It felt wonderful, man. It felt so good to be back over there in the parks. I mean, Disney Springs is great. I've been going to Disney Springs quite a bit. But the parks, for some reason, I had this thing. I don't know. I'm so glad I did. Because I don't feel any hesitation about grabbing a park pass, getting in the car, and driving over now. I feel no hesitation at all because I know I can do it safely. Mm-hmm. I know I can do it safely. And Jackie, you were there around the same time as I was.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt the same way about being in the parks. I miss it. I missed it. I was missing it so desperately. And I felt so good about being there. And the first day that I went, when I was there last week, I spent a few hours just walking up and down Main Street because I was so excited about the fact that I could just slowly look in all the Main Street windows and just see how beautiful they were done for the holidays and enjoy all the things without feeling like I was in somebody's way every 3 seconds. And so, you know, people walked around each other. It was not claustrophobic. It just felt so good. The magic was everywhere.
And everybody was like, I don't know. Did you see it too? Everybody just seemed in a good space and was being really respectful. Mm-hmm. And to other guests, to cast members, it was really nice. It was really nice.
Another thing that you probably saw was high posted wait times. In my experience, like none of the wait times, like 90 minutes for Flight of Passage or whatever, none of them are actually correct. Like I went on Flight of Passage a few weeks ago and the wait time was posted about 60 minutes and we waited about 20. Because this is, you know, a very new system with the social distance, everybody's 6 feet apart guidelines. They kind of got to try to ballpark it. And usually they do, I think, overshoot. So,
I think it's intentional.
Yeah.
I think it's intentional to discourage people from getting online. And to manage those crowds. We've been hearing about this for 3-4 months now, mm-hmm. about, you know, posted wait time saying one thing and then the actual wait time being much less. And I know for a fact it's been brought up to management, about it. So it's intentional. And if that's working for them, great. If that's working for them, great. But of course, we're going to say this and then people are going to go wait online for, you know, oh yeah, it said 90 minutes and it was 90 minutes. Just the way it works. But, Denny, you've been back in the parks quite a bit as well.
Yes, I have. So the first time back just to go and have a little bit of fun, like I'm there all the time covering things for work and and checking things out and eating all sorts of snacks and things like that. But the other night, I had a Saturday snacks recipe that had gone bad twice. It was going downhill, and my husband looked at me and said, "I need to get you out of the house." So that evening, he said, "We'll do whatever you want to." And so I put on my new Ratatouille dress, the dress shop dress, because I was able to pick that up. And I put that on, and we went and did Remy's Ratatouille Hide and Squeak all the way around World Showcase the other evening, and had so much fun. That is my absolute favorite, is getting to do the hide and squeak. And
I'm so excited about your Remy dress.
That is so fun. It was a lot of fun just to, you know, go around and it felt like because I do that every year. I do the hide and squeak every year, and it felt like it normally feels. It was an evening. It was one of the evenings that Epcot was open until 10 o'clock. And so there were little pinch points, like we've talked about on the shows before, where there are more people congregating, and you just kind of have to dance around those and keep on moving. But just the congenial nature of things, because when you're out there looking for these Remy statues, especially at night, because they're not hard to see, there's other guests who are trying to find them as well. And so, like you were saying, Pete, there's just this air about things when you're in there now. Like everyone is giving each other a wider berth and a little bit more grace, which is really, really nice. And just a shout out to the cast members who are working their butts off to keep everyone as safe as possible, because the hoops that they are needing to jump through to ensure everyone, or to hopefully ensure everyone's safety, are massive, what they're having to do. And they're doing a great job.
They really are doing a great job. And encourage anybody who's in the parks, thank these cast members.
Yeah.
Show your appreciation for them and the work that they're doing right now is really fantastic. But, I'm really glad I got to go back in. I'm really glad I chose to. And I will be back in again. But that, folks, is going to do it for our show for this week. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, John, Kevin, Denny, Jackie, and Fiasco, for being here as well. We will see you again next week with another edition of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks, and remember, stay out of the damn...